Hello, welcome to Adventures with Words. I'm Kate. Normally it's Rob who does this bit, obviously, but he's having a week off and I am taking over the podcast. So we've had a bit of a weekend of clearing things out. I got rid of two bin bags full of clothes and a whole load of mugs. Goodness only knows how we ended up with so many mugs in the first place, but we were sort of having a big clear out. And then actually recently, you might remember, we did something similar with all our books, and I'm going to take you on a little bit of a tour of my bookshelves. So the books that are on there are the ones that made the cut, plus obviously the numerous books that have been added since, and I thought I'd just sort of point out a few things to you and talk to you a little bit about the way that I organise my book collection, which luckily is slightly more organised than the way I organise my mug collection. They're both a work in progress. So the first thing to say is that, as I mentioned, we did have this sort of big clear out not that long ago. We still haven't actually taken all the tote bags full of books to the local charity shop because there are just so many of them. Rob, bless him, got rid of loads of books when we first moved to London, and I really didn't. I think I got rid of about two, but I just, at the time, I think wasn't ready to part with my collection. Whereas now, I don't know if it's becoming more blasé or working in publishing and just having access to so many of the lovely books that Vintage publishes, but I just realised that it was going a bit mad. We have piles of books all over the place, and I just needed to part with some of them. Either that I had already read and enjoyed but wasn't going to reread, or that I had read and not enjoyed particularly that much, so again wasn't going to reread, or in fact some things which were things that I brought home or been given or bought on impulse, but to be honest was never going to get round to. I think there are so many wonderful books in the world, it can be a bit overwhelming, and you can sort of think, oh well, I must have a copy of that, but then in reality it's not really your thing, or it's just not what you'll fancy, or you know, or the time passes, you know, maybe it's something that loads of people are talking about, but then actually you don't necessarily want to read it that much. You've sort of got fooled by the hype, and it's just never going to happen. And there were quite a few of those sort of things for me. There were also sort of various review books that we've read and reviewed, and again, probably not going to come back to. So we had this big pile of books that all are destined to go to other people who hopefully will appreciate them. So in theory, the books that are on my shelves now in front of me are all ones that either I have already read and I definitely want to keep because I sort of treasure them, or I'm collecting them, or I'm going to reread them, or they're books that I haven't read yet and I definitely do want to read them. So, you know, it's a bit of a mixture of different things. Mostly the books that I have are not particularly old or particularly precious in a monetary way, but there are quite a few authors where I just really love that author, so I've kept all the books that I have bought that they've written. And then also, particularly since working at Vintage, there are certain series of books, or, you know, kind of special editions of things, which are just so beautiful and are also an author who I really like. So I have sort of little collections of those as well. So just looking over my shelves, I used to organise them sort of a bit thematically. So I would have one bookshelf that was mostly sort of young adult books. I would have one bookshelf that was more university books, and one that was more my sort of grown-up fiction books. But that has sort of changed because I realised that, to be honest, a lot of the books that I had for university, which were mostly sort of small paperback things, were probably not things that I was going to read again. I loved studying them and they were really interesting, but not something that it was really worth keeping. And if I did desperately want it, when I'm older and feeling nostalgic, I could probably buy another relatively cheap paperback. So I got rid of lots of those sort of things. So, and also, when we moved into the flat, just because I had so many books, we just sort of, well, Rob actually mostly, just put them all on shelves, and they came off while I was rejigging them and deciding what was going to keep and what was going to go. But apart from that, they've not really been reorganised. And the only small organisation is there's a few sets of things which have sort of ended up next to each other just as they've been put on the shelf. So as I look around my shelves, I can see quite a few Joe Nesbo books, which are, fun enough, are published by Vintage, but are things that I mostly all read before I started working there. A whole collection of Henning Mankell books, mostly Wallander, again published by Vintage, but something that I read a few years ago now. I can see a set of Richard Flanagan paperbacks. So you might remember that The Narrow Road to the Deep North won the Booker Prize a couple of years ago now, 3 years ago. And that was just before I started working at Vintage. But since then, they've brought out his older books in sort of very lovely paperback editions. And I absolutely loved The Narrow Road to the Deep North. Rob and I both did. So I took the opportunity to grab a set of those lovely paperbacks. A few other things that I can see that have clustered together. I've got sort of a few different clusters of E&M banks. There's one sort of down on the bottom left. There's one in a set in the middle bookcase that a few of his Just Ian Banks books. And there's a few other clusters of them dotted around the different bookshelves. I've got, I think, all of his science fiction books. I don't have all of his contemporary fiction books. But the ones that I do, I really like. But, you know, these are all things that are still sort of spread around my bookshelves, and they haven't really been organised into groups. Yeah, and just a few other authors. Like, I can see there's a couple of books, The Rose and the Dagger and The Wrath and the Dawn by René Ardier. I bought those together. They went on my shelf together, so they've stayed together. Perhaps I should have a go at reorganising my bookshelves properly. I would say, even though I got rid of absolutely loads of books, my shelves are all still double stacked. So there's a whole layer of books that I can't see just as I look at the shelves. So it does make that slightly more difficult to organise them in a sensible fashion. But I suppose, as I keep reading these various things, I can always decide whether I'm going to keep them or get rid of them. I can see a few older books, which I've had for actually quite a long time. Some have been clearly very well read. Some have been sort of preserved quite carefully. So among those, I've got, well, there's probably, you can probably count my E&M Banks books among those, because they've been extremely well read. And even though I'm normally quite careful, I think they've just been read so many times. But they definitely look well loved. I can see a copy of Pride and Prejudice that is the TV tie-in from when the BBC made their version sort of about like 20 years ago or something like that. It's got Mr. Darcy on the front. Excellent. I can see a very well-read copy of Ursula Le Guin's Earthsea Quartet. So that's the sort of original three, and then she wrote one a bit later called Tehanu. So that's all four in one set. And again, I've clearly read that multiple times, and I'm sure I'll probably come back to it again in the future. And then probably my most prized older books are my hardbacks of his Dark Materials. So I think they are all first editions. They're all hardbacks, and they say, or at least Northern Light says Point on the spine, as I think the imprint that they were published under changed name during those original three books being published. So I've got all three hardbacks, and we're rereading his Dark Materials at the moment, but I'm not actually reading those hardbacks because I just, yeah, those are very precious to me, and I definitely don't want them to get dropped or bashed around. Incredibly, now thinking back, I'm sure I read Northern Lights in the bath, but I managed to preserve the hardback so it's not crinkly or damp. And then what else have I got up there? Let's look around. There's a lot that I haven't read yet, actually. And I'm sort of not necessarily saving, but that I just haven't got round to yet. I've got quite a few sort of interesting feministy type books that I've bought because I've heard people talking about them and it sounds really interesting. So I've got How to Be a Girl by Catlin Moran, quite a few other sort of things along those lines. But again, they were all sort of collected together and now they're sort of spread out between all my different bookcases. It's not very much factual stuff as I look around, actually. It's mostly those sort of feminist type things, which are the more factual ones. I've got a few fun things. I can see a couple of my Marie Kondo books that I was given, actually, and was sort of slightly my inspiration when I was clearing up my wardrobe, because you're supposed to just keep things that spark joy, which is probably why I've still got so many books. But thinking of it in that way certainly helped me think about whether it was worth keeping that, you know, old t-shirt or whatever, because that certainly doesn't. There's a few things that, again, lots of people have told me are really great and I just have not got round to. So I can see a copy of The Girl from Everywhere by Heidi Heilig, which is published by Hotkey, and I know loads of people thought that was brilliant, but I just haven't quite got round to reading it yet. I can see Lockwood & Co, The Screaming Staircase by Jonathan Stroud. Again, I know loads of people who absolutely love the Lockwood & Co books. I know the fifth one, which is the last one, has just come out. And I think I bought that quite a while ago, but I just have not actually got round to reading it yet. So obviously I'll have to give that a try. What else? I've got some books that are, I'm not sure what the name of the series is, but they're Julie Kagawa, like The Iron Knight, The Lost Prince, Iron Legends. They're sort of fantasy, fairy, adventure sort of YA books. And I got sent a whole set of them, actually. And even though that should be just my sort of thing, I haven't read them for some reason, but I have kept them because it sounds like just the sort of thing that I would really, really like. And I'm sure I will enjoy them when I get round to it. But I feel like that's maybe a bit of a Sunday afternoon, raining outside, you've got a cup of tea, a bit of a sort of comfort read. So I'll have to find out where the rest of those books have gone, because I've got about 7 or 8 or something, and then I can actually read them in the right order. Just having a look to see if I can spot anything else that's particularly precious or interesting. On Twitter earlier, Patrick Ness was saying that there's going to be some photos from the Chaos Walking film, which will show us sort of pictures of the main characters. When I was working at Quercus, they were having a great big office move and there were loads of people getting rid of loads of books. And as I was just sort of helping to do a bit of tidying, I think I went and had a quick poke around at things that people were getting rid of, because, you know, that's what people who work in publishing do. They take stuff back out of the books to go bin all the time. And I found a copy of The Knife of Never Letting Go, which is the first Chaos Walking book. And that's an amazing hardback, and it's got this sort of almost like cellophane type clear plastic wrapping around it, which has got all sorts of scribbled writing all over it, sort of printed on it, which is like the noise that all the men hear in this story. And I took that with me to Yalc a couple of years ago when Patrick Ness was doing a signing, and I got him to sign his new book, but I also asked him to sign that, and he was quite astonished, and he said he didn't know where I'd managed to get that from. You couldn't get them anywhere anymore, that I should definitely hang on to that because there were so few of them. So that's nice. And I'm sure I've got lots of other signed copies of things, but sans massively privileged, but they've sort of melded in with all my other books. Now I can't always remember what is signed and what isn't. I've got some lovely Garth Nix books. So I came to Garth Nix quite late. I had seen Garth Nix books in the school library, in the school where I used to work, but And I sort of, looking at the covers, thought, I think that this might be something that I enjoy. But I'd never really got round to reading them, because I think they had come out a little bit before that, even. And in those sort of lessons where you're supervising a class in the library, you don't really have time to do much reading yourself. But when Clariel came out on Hot Key Books, they invited some people to read the ebooks, which they are now publishing, of the original trilogy. So it's Sabriel, Lyriel, and Abhorsen. And I absolutely love them. I thought they were brilliant. I love Clariel. I love that whole world. It's so interesting. And I love the fact that he makes people quite fallible. They're not always likeable. They're not sort of amazing, always altruistic sort of people. I really, really enjoyed that. So having read those and having read Clariel, I then went on eBay and managed to find lovely hardback copies of the original trilogy. And some of them are in better nick than others, but I found them all very cheaply on eBay, secondhand. So I was really thrilled with that, actually. So I've got the original three in that, I don't know what the proper name for the Old Kingdom trilogy, I think. I've got the original three books in that trilogy in nice hardbacks. And then I've also got a nice hardback of Clariel, and I got a hardback of Golden Hand, which is the latest book in that sort of world. So yeah, it's an interesting thing. I hadn't really thought about collecting hardbacks in that way until then, I think. And it occurred to me that even though these things aren't really on Amazon and they're not really in bookshops, you can look at places like eBay and you can actually find copies like that to complete your collection. And I suppose that leads me on to books that I've bought really because I thought they were very pretty. because I think a lot of people actually do choose books by their covers. So there's a few things that absolutely fall into that category for me. Some of them are those sort of lovely vintage special editions, but some of them are completely other things. So, I mean, the lovely vintage classics thing I've got their Jane Austen set, which are very beautiful. They look like they're sort of watercolour versions of fabric patterns. And there's also a very lovely Bronte set, which is Jane Eyre, Wuthering Heights, and The Tenant of Wildfell Hall, which are black and white photographic images of trees and flowers and so on. I think they're really lovely. And then I haven't got all of them, but I've got some of the more recent Vintage Classics Russian series, Dr. Zhivago, which I absolutely love. And I thought I'll pick another couple to have a go at. And I've got Crime and Punishment by Fyodor Dostoevsky, Life and Fate by Vasily Grossman. And who knows, I might see if I can make my way through the others as well. A couple of other really stunningly designed books, shall we say. There's a book that, let's see, is it Havelsecker? I think so. But it's The Quick by Lauren Owen, which I think is vampires, but I haven't read that yet, but it's just really, really gorgeous. So I fancied that. There's a book called The Monstrous Child by Francesca Simon, which is Faber Children's, and you might know Francesca Simon better for Horrid Henry, but this is a sort of Norse myth reinterpretation where one of the Norse deities has been flung to Earth, and it's her telling her story. There's a few others. The Lauras by Sarah Taylor. I absolutely loved her first one, and the cover of The Lauras is really stunning. So I'm a bit of a sucker for beautiful books. I think there's a reason why people design really attractive covers, and it is to grab your attention. And I can't help being a bit of a magpie sometimes. There's obviously loads of other things on my shelf that I haven't mentioned, but I don't want to bore you. And if anyone would like to know a little bit more about particular authors or particular collections of books or anything like that, just let me know. But I'll leave it there for now. Rob and I are still doing our Philip Pullman read for Rob and reread for me. I'm just waiting till he finishes The Subtle Knife, and then I'll whiz through that, and then he'll be on to The Amber Spyglass next. But it's not actually very long till La Belle Sauvage is published, which is very exciting. It's a few weeks. It's my birthday next weekend, so who knows, I might get given a book. I might not, I might just buy myself one, but we'll see what happens. At the moment, I just finished reading The Dollmaker of Krakow, which was sent to me very kindly by Walker. It's such a beautiful and really, really sad book, but it's an incredible sort of almost like fairy tale retelling of the occupation of Krakow by the Nazis during the Second World War. And it's a way of, I suppose, in some ways interpreting it for children, but also a way of sort of making it understandable by introducing a sort of magic realism to the situation. And it's very, very beautifully written, but it's incredibly sad. But yeah, really lovely book. And that's out at the end of this coming week in the UK anyway. And I've just started reading a book that isn't actually out till April next year, but it is Macbeth by Jane Nesbo. It's it will be part of the Hogarth Shakespeare series, which is this ongoing series of novelists taking a Shakespeare story that's probably very well known and then reinterpreting it, giving it a different setting, basically turning it into their own style of novel. And there's actually one coming out before that, so this isn't the next one. The next one to be published is Edward St. Aubyn retelling King Lear, which is a book called Dunbar. So Dunbar is the name of the Lear character, and he's sort of recast him as a businessman who's kind of losing grip on his sanity, his reality, his family, why he made the decisions he made. Yeah, very interesting. So that's out later in October, and I think will also be brilliant. But as soon as I got my hands on this Jane Nesbo, I thought I really wanted to read it. It's great fun. There's lots of kind of nods and winks to the original story. I think most people will be familiar with the Macbeth story, but I think even if you're not, I'm sure it will work. So that's what I'm reading at the moment. If you want to get in touch with us and tell us what you're reading at the moment, what your bookshelves are like, if you're horrified by the fact that mine are a mess, or whatever it is that you want to say, there are lots of different ways that you can get in touch with us. You can send us an email, contact@adventureswithwords.com. You can leave a comment on our Facebook page. You can tweet us @WordAdventures. You can leave a comment under any of the posts on the website. Or if you go to adventureswithwords.com, on the front page, you can actually record a little voicemail for us, and you can be part of the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. And then if you want to follow Rob during the week, he's @RobChilver on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all sorts of different places. And if you want to follow me during the week, I am @magic_kitten on Twitter and Instagram. Those are probably the best places to find me. Until next week, take care, have a lovely week, and goodbye.